ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Stopping sexual harassment in the workplace has for the last few months become a big issue in the United States of America, and now just in the last few days has become a big issue here in India. Women especially, well, only women, complaining that they are being sexually harassed in the workplace. And as in America, this whole movement, online movement, started in Hollywood, and here in India, the land of the great imitators of everything that's wrong in Western society, and there's a lot that's wrong. Here it started in Bollywood, ironically, I'm told, by an actress who was some, how many years ago? You told me 20 years ago? Something like that. 10 years ago only. Was in the forefront of making Bollywood more vulgar and having openly raunchy scenes. She was in the forefront of that. Her career was built on inciting sexual attraction. So it does seem rather hypocritical that she's complaining about this. Of course, Bollywood, what are the main themes there? Sex and violence. And it may be more raunchy nowadays than it used to be, but anyway. Of course, I don't go and watch movies, but it's so central. It's just like cricket here in India. It's so central to, or so prominent in popular culture. You can't help knowing something about what's going on, even if you have no interest in these things. Although, of course, in other ways do have interest, because we're also trying to influence society in a better way. And Bollywood, overall, by emphasizing sex, isn't doing any good to the moral condition of human society. Anyway, that's getting a bit off on a tangent, but the women are actresses and others now are complaining about sexual harassment. And it's often been said, not only in connection with this hashtag MeToo movement, but that women who dress skimpily, showing off their bodies, or wearing very tight clothes, suggestive clothes, they shouldn't complain if they're harassed. But women respond furiously if anyone says this. We'll dress any way we like, and you should just behave yourself. As if there's no correlation between them dressing in mini skirts and low cleavage t-shirts and sexual harassment. They deliberately dress in a manner to attract men. And for actresses, like I say, their whole career is built on sexual attraction. There may be some exceptions to that. Who's it's built on acting skill. And I, thinking back way back to my childhood, Glenda Jackson, a serious, you could say, actress. But with the ongoing degradation of human culture all over the world, it's been sliding down or collapsing for generation after generation at an ever increasing rate. A major factor in the decline of human culture all over the world is the emphasis on sexuality, which is part of life. We're not denying that, but to make it so prominent is clearly it's tending towards animalism. So talking about the women who dress and act flirtatiously. Well, that could be called a form of sexual harassment, isn't it? That it's acting in a sexual manner. Sexual behavior doesn't just mean touching someone or saying something, but even by the way you dress, even by gestures, that's also sexual behavior. So any unwanted anyone who initiates any sexual behavior without asking the permission of the other, which is another ridiculous thing, that you have to ask permission, then that could be called sexual harassment. And for that matter, advertisements showing women, or any advertisements, could be considered a kind of harassment. It's an accepted part of modern society that you go out in the public, and there are all kinds of advertisements impinging on your consciousness, telling you this and that, you should buy this and buy that. It's all harassment. The whole society is harassment, inside out, upside down. Education's harassed, so-called education. They force you to go to school and indoctrinate you in all their materialistic values and teach you all kinds of rubbish. Anyway, just trying to point out here that the whole society is mad, in case you hadn't noticed. Women are pointing out that the men aren't saints. Well, the women aren't either. Who's a saint? In a ridiculously oversexed society, you're going to have trouble. There's no doubt about it. What's the solution to sexual harassment in the workplace? I got a great solution. If you implement this, there'll be no more sexual harassment in the workplace, guaranteed. What is it? How can I be so bold as to say that there is such a solution? Here it is. Take women out of the workplace. Ah, how about that? Then you won't have any Bollywood movies. Good. Women are needed at home for their children. Talking about sexual harassment, right? Sex means an act which is designed by nature, designed by God, to give birth to children. Children are supposed to be looked after. And just as amazing, really. Children are meant to be looked after. And as in other species of life, the men and women have different roles in the family setup, and women are especially meant to be with their children. So that's a major reason why women shouldn't be in the workplace. They should be with their children if they have children. And not having children is another crazy idea, which is upsetting the whole demographics of the world. And there's so many. We're talking about one problem, but if you just examine this, say someone goes to the doctor because he's got a scratch on his finger, and the doctor examines, and it's just everything possible. He's got every disease under the sun. So it's something like this. We're complaining about sexual harassment in the workplace, but if you examine the social body, it's just sick, upside down, inside out, top to bottom. It's just a total disaster. Also, if you keep women hour after hour, day after day, week after week, with men who are not their husband, not their relatives, then expect trouble. The example given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Manu Sanghita, ancient scriptures of India. Oh, no, it's not India. It's addressing human nature. If you keep a pot of butter next to a fire, what's going to happen? The butter is going to melt. So if you keep men and women together, it's just ABC, practical biology. There's going to be sexual attraction. Unless the man is a saint, which is uncommon, and very uncommon in the modern age, because the whole society, like, it's over-sexed. There's so much emphasis on sex, the sexual attraction. So you're doing women. I'm not blaming anyone, because the women themselves are raised in an overly sexed culture. They're raised to promote themselves as sexual objects with lipstick and eyelash, whatever it's called, eyelash thickener and creams for their face and creams for their elbows and cream to put on makeup, cream to take off makeup and fashions and so many things. And then in such a society, they don't know. They're not raised to live in a manner which is conducive for their well-being. No one else is either. So, but this is just common sense, that if you put butter next to a fire, it's going to melt. If you put man in association with woman, there's going to be some attraction. Sexual attraction is going to be there. Civilization, one of the hallmarks of civilization is that this sexual attraction is controlled. But then a major part of civilization is also knowing how much to allow this sexual attraction. Obviously, it shouldn't be stopped altogether, or because reproduction is required. But then overemphasis of it is a major cause of all kinds of problems in human society, mental problems and then biological problems. If we say this kind of thing, I have experience of this already. It's not the first time I've spoken on such topics by any means. Can we expect to be scathingly attacked by feminists? But if we actually understand what is the purpose of human life, it's not simply to sensually enjoy ourselves like animals, then feminism is a disaster. It's one factor in the whole disaster that is called modern society. Now, why am I even talking about this? I'm supposed to, by my dress, it can be seen that I'm supposed to be a spiritually minded person. Well, spiritually minded people are very concerned about sex. Why? Because kama kodas tatalo bas tasmat etat trayang tyajet. Kam, material desire, specifically or most centrally, sexual desire. Kam, krodh, anger, and lobe, greed. These three are to be given up if there's going to be any progress on the spiritual path. And it's not easy. Since time immemorial, we've been cultivating these degrading tendencies. So we're very concerned with this powerful force, which is called sexual desire. We're concerned not only for our own sake, but for the whole of society. And we see that the whole of society has gone far too far in promoting sexuality and promiscuity. So we wish to advise human society, as our guru did. Our guru, Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was a highly advanced spiritualist, transcendentalist. He was the greatest friend of mankind because he gave knowledge of the highest truth distinguished from illusion. The whole sexual attraction, the idea that I shall be happy by sex, is a big illusion. No one ever became happy by sex. And there might be some instant adrenaline rush, but that's not happiness. Happiness is much deeper than getting adrenaline rushes, and that's another big mistake of the so-called civilization. They take this adrenaline rush to be happiness. They don't have no idea what is actual happiness. So our guru, Srila Prabhupada, speaking on the basis of revealed scripture, speaking on the basis of personal realization, he was clearly a God-realized person. He, as the greatest friend of mankind, taught all these truths that human life is meant for God realization. Sense gratification blocks God realization. In sense gratification, the most prominent, powerful force is that of sexual attraction. So this sexual attraction is a very powerful force. It has to be properly channeled and directed. And for those who are on the path of renunciation, that is to be wholly directed on the path of love of God, love of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he taught to love God, to love Krishna, but he was very concerned with social matters also, because the whole society is set up in such a way that it's very much non-conducive to spiritual advancement, and he wanted to rectify that. And we, his followers, are trying to follow in his exalted footsteps to the best that we can. I wrote a whole book about this subject, about common sense matters, about respectable womanhood. Common sense is uncommon in a crazy world. The feminists within our Krishna conscious movement, they hated this book, which was predictable. They hated it even without reading it. Just the smell of it was enough to make them very unhappy. Anyway, that's a solution. We need to reform the whole society. What are women doing when they've got children, young children, and they're out in the office all day? Glancing at different men and dressed in such a way that they may attract men. Who are the men they're trying to attract? Get them out of the office. Why are these offices anyway? What is all this? This whole society set up for multinational corporations to influence the world in various ways. The whole society needs reforming. For anyone who wants to listen, and we don't expect there'll be very many, we can advise how to stay sane in a completely mad world. How to stay sane? Well, first of all, we have to understand that this world is mad. And if we try to partake in the whole flow of human society as it's going on at the present time, then we're going to be mad. So we have to take stock of who we are. Who are we? We're not this body. If we think that happiness means rubbing our body against another body, we're grossly mistaken. Who are we? We are eternal spiritual living beings. We have our eternal relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are meant for knowing God, loving God, serving God, obeying God. So this is the whole root of the problem, is forgetfulness of God, of Krishna. Big topics. I'm just giving a little idea here. As far as I've understood by hearing from great personalities. That book is there. Can be ordered. It's not written in psychobabble, mumbo-jumbo language. It's very simple, straightforward, and easy to understand. Hare Krishna. You can put a shot of the book on the screen, and then you can say to put it in to order. Go to da 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 da. Okay, that was a short one. Okay, that's all for now, brahmacharis. You don't have to worry about that.